We are more than circumstance. Who we are is no simple thing. Each of us is a living constellation of habits, desires, notions, memories, all shaped by the circumstances of how we've lived and what we've been through. Blood, money, knowledge, marriage, death, discovery, who we serve and don't serve, where we came from and where we're going to, who we meet, and what we sacrifice. Literally, that all has a nice flow, but we are more than simply circumstances. We have free will, and we choose. Don't let yourself sink into being circumstantial. Above all that circumstance which shapes us, most importantly, God has the final say in how we are defined. God, not the fallen world. I like that verbal visualization, a living constellation. Can you see it? Knowing we are and having a clue as to where we are in Christ is of penultimate importance. The faith we walk in is largely governed by the establishing of who we are, as we are, what we are, and where we are according to God. Get that? According to God, not men, but God. I have come to believe more than a little twisted theology in the body of Christ stems from a lack of identity, a misunderstanding of our identity, or the simple disbelief that our standing in Christ is real. We are what? And where are we? Today, we'll start with we are, as in who are we and who does God say we are. Catch those three: lack of identity, misunderstanding of identity, and simple disbelief. Foundationally, if we are believers, then right off the bat, we are God's image and reflection bearers. Genesis 1:26, made similar to God in fashion and form, more than merely how we look, but also how we are. We are placed on purpose in a broken yet still beautiful world, made from dust yet breathed into by the Holy Spirit, and we carry eternal value and inevitable mortality, which is a nice way of saying we're all going to die at some point. All that in the same frame. If it were anyone else saying such a thing other than God, it would be oxymoronic, or seemingly self-contradictory. No one but God can create such a thing as having eternal value yet inevitable mortality in the same frame. Here it is again. We are living in this body that is inclined to corruption, yet carry eternal value because of Jesus, all in the same frame. Yes, that's an awfully big picture, but true nonetheless. We are here. In this place we live and we are loved, simultaneously crowned with glory and honor, defined by Psalm 8 verse 5, and suffer a fallen nature which is intrinsic to our flesh. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, and the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Before Christ, we were curved inward, so to speak. No choice but to be enslaved to sin and death. And though we are now free, we still struggle against our flesh and the influence of this fallen world. Does struggle be real, my friend? Every human heart is a battlefield where the image and reflection of God wrestles against the image and reflection of Adam. Everyone looks so good at church, making all the right words, wearing all the right postures, yet we cannot begin to fathom the war going on in each person. We are is a phrase about who we are, as in 1 Corinthians 3:9, part A, for we are laborers together with God.
We are.
When I think about the phrase, we are, and the biblically famous reply of young Samuel in 1 Samuel, here I am.
Here I am.
To me, it's deceptively simple. After all, it's only two or three words. Yet it carries layers of meaning across language-related, time-honored, literary, cultural, and philosophical contexts. Those two or three little words carry so much momentum. Jesus claimed his identity and equality with the Father in John 10:30 when he said, I and the Father are one. And he prayed in John 17:11 that believers may be one even as we are one. The phrases we are, here I am, or I am here, gained legendary status in children's literature through Dr. Seuss's 1954 book, Horton Hears a Who. In the story, the tiny, tiny inhabitants of Whoville chant,
we are here, we are here, we are here,
to prove their existence to the larger world, which can't see or hear them. Horton the elephant protects their speck of dust world, embodying the moral,
a person is a person no matter how small.
Lately, I've run into believer after believer who, at their core, feel small, unseen, unheard, and unnecessary. Sure, sure, their mouths claim the promises of belonging and connecting to God and the body of Christ. They quote scripture, pray, and all the necessary elements of faith. But in the late night, in the gray place between awake and asleep, often overshadowed by doubt and unbelief, they are at war within themselves as to their identity, as God sees them. Who are you? Have you looked up to see how God sees you? In the meantime, I know the following is probably a little too detailed, but go with me and try it. Let's dissect this little thing, we are, a moment.
We are.
First word, we. It is a first-person plural pronoun, implying collectively us as a group identity. I use the word we to refer to some sort of collective unity or probably shared experiences rather than individualism, with our nation having veered far away from recognizing community to only recognizing the individual. I think our country has nearly lost the we, which all of us have loved so much. This next is very interesting to me. It is the verb are, which is the present tense of a one-of-a-kind verb, to be, often translated as the past, present, future, I am, of Genesis 7:1. According to the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, or TDNT, the verb to be is affirming existence or a state of being.
We are.
When God says, I am, he is directly declaring and affirming his existence, emphasizing his continual presence in the past, present, and future all at the same time. Wow. When God says he is, considering we are included in the beloved, then we are also. Because Jesus first loved, we first love. And because Jesus first lived, we are alive. In 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, we are adopted into God's family, and it's not only a future hope, it is very present reality. Do you believe it? We either believe that or we don't. There is no sort of or kind of to it. Is you is or is you ain't. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The Greek there literally says, new creation is. But I hear Paul repeatedly using "we are" type language for our identity. New creation, as in we are, and the time is now. We are.
We are.
Did you know Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that we are God's fellow workers? Imagine, the King of the universe includes us in his work, but also calls us his fellow workers. 2 Corinthians 5:6. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:11. We are known to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Yeah, is that you? God says you are, but what do you say? So far, we are fellow workers, courageous, we are known, and we are ambassadors. That's who God says we are, and if he said it, it's true because he is true. Psalm 95:7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, we are his, we belong to God. We may have terrible things in our past, but by the blood of Jesus, we who call on his name, we are free. Those things are dead in your past, and if God has called them dead, then they are dead, and there is no need ever again to dig them up just so we can reckon them dead all over again. Isaiah 53:5, we are healed. Jeremiah 2:31, we are free. Jeremiah 7:10, we are delivered. Jeremiah 14:9, we are called by your name. Acts 3:15, we are witnesses. Romans 5:10, we are reconciled. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors, and so on and so on. The list of who God says we are is a very, very long one. In spite of who God says we are, why, oh why, do we so often talk ourselves out of it? It is a mystery to me. Some of the following is a bit repetitive, but I think it is necessary to say as often as required until we get God's word down in our head and heart. Romans 8:16-17 says we are children of God, not the offspring of the devil, but children of God, and we are also fellow heirs with Jesus himself. In 1 Peter, we are chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation made specifically for God's own possession. Every "we are" statement about believers is in the present indicative. It is now and is declaring what is already true because of communion with Christ, not what we must strive to become. We are who God says we are, present tense and a statement of fact. We are known, comforted, his workmanship or poetry. We are members of his house, and we are surrounded by witnesses who testify we are who he says we are. We are waiting. We are in him, of the truth and from God. Gosh, in light of all that, why, oh why, do we talk ourselves out of who God says he is and who God says we are? Say, why is that? There are more "we are"s. How many can you find? I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.